I love the gospel text this morning, the part about Jesus decides to go to Bethsaida. He just decides to go. It's not like it's a big deal. He doesn't get a lightning flash idea. He says, oh, cool. I think I'll go to Bethsaida. And it says that he found Philip, but he wasn't looking for Philip. It's more like he ran into Philip. Yeah, just walking through Bethsaida, met a guy named Philip. Said, come and follow me. And Philip goes and spends the day with him, hangs out. Philip is convinced that he has found the Son of God, the one that the prophets and Moses spoke about. And so he goes and he finds Nathanael. And Nathanael says, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, please. From Nazareth? Really? It's like last week we were talking about, you know, Podunkville.
Yeah.
Coming from, what did we end up saying? Sohegan, right? Yeah. So, right, you know, come on, really? What good can come out of there, right? Sheesh, I've been there. I've seen that place. It's a one-horse town. Forget it. And he says, come and see. So Nathanael comes, and Jesus sees him, and he says, here is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And you got to wonder, what in the world is he talking about? I mean, did he hear? He didn't apparently hear that Nathanael doesn't like the guy's hometown. He doesn't trust Jesus' hometown. But Jesus greets him with this, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Well, it's interesting in a couple of ways. I mean, it could be Jesus is sitting there smiling there, laughing and going, oh, yeah, there's a guy. There's a guy who cannot possibly not speak the truth from his mind. His mouth will not allow him. And so he doesn't like the city of Nazareth? Great. The town of Nazareth? Okay. And he speaks it. Could be something like that, right? But it also has the echo of our friend Jacob. Because Jacob is known as the deceiver, right? He's the one who's constantly scheming. And he's constantly lying. He's constantly stealing people's stuff. Jacob, the deceiver. And so it could be Jesus is saying, here's a guy that does not take after our ancestors. Our ancestor, I should say. Here's a guy not like Jacob. And as you all know, Jacob becomes Israel, right? That's where we get the name Israel. It's Jacob. God changes God's Jacob's name to Israel. So here is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael's like, wow. And then he asks a very simple question. Where did you get to know me? And he says, I saw you under the fig tree. And this is like a parlor trick for Jesus. This is no big deal. But Nathanael is like, whoa, you saw me there? Really? How did that happen? You are the Son of God. You are. He gives him all of this praise about this little thing. And Jesus kind of goes, well, isn't that cute? But you will see more. You will see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So he goes from this mundane decision to go to Bethsaida to this incredibly powerful spiritual thing where the angels are going to be ascending and descending. You're going to see Jacob's ladder. And you're going to see the angels coming and going. And wherever I'm walking is this holy place to be marked. You'll get to see it. So, I'm thinking about sort of mundane decisions that get made, right? So, of course, it's Martin Luther King Day. Tomorrow we'll be celebrating Martin Luther King, and I'm just thinking about, can you imagine? Maybe you all can't imagine this. Some of you here can imagine this. Being like a pastor 2 years into your ministry. You're like 22, 23 years old. You don't know nothing. And all of a sudden, in your town, in your city, in Montgomery, Alabama, there's this huge movement to boycott the buses. Right? And somebody says, hey, what about the new guy? I bet he could be in charge of this. Hard to imagine. The one thing about it is that, thinking about it, it could be that here's a guy who's not already engaged, not already sort of in with the whole city of Montgomery, and doesn't really know and isn't really beholden to anybody. Maybe he's a guy who could lead us. And he totally resists. He said, no, thank you. I'm not the man. I'm not your guy. Sorry. I'm new here. I'm trying to get my feet under me. I'm trying to, you know, I still have a hard time getting my sermons together on Sunday mornings. I mean, this is all of these things, reasons why he can't do it. And somebody said, no, we think you can do it. And then we have it. Out of this mundane decision comes this incredible holy movement. Right? From the bus boycott to the whole civil rights movement to the poor people's campaign, everything. Martin Luther King is like, he gets raised up out of his community because of this, like, very, it's really quite a nonchalant decision, it seems like. And yet there he is. Beautiful. Just an amazing thing. And it makes me think, man, we need to be paying attention. Don't you think? Pay attention, not to the decisions that we make necessarily, but what's God doing with the decisions that we make? We'll find ourselves in situations, and then all of a sudden, here's God. And the angels are going up and down the ladder in this holy place. So, the question for us today might be, what good can come from Senior Frogs? The local bar, right? What good can come from there? But I was within, and I was, the first thing that you got to know about that is if you go to the Senior Frogs in the morning, you got to get a cup of coffee in your hand before somebody buys you a drink. Because if somebody buys you a drink, if someone buys me a drink at 8 o'clock in the morning, I have to drink. I feel like I'm obligated to drink it because the guy bought me the drink, right? I mean, it would feel... However, that ruins the rest of your day, the rest of my day. I have that drink, I go home and I go to bed. I do not understand how they can do that, but there they are at 7 in the morning. And okay, so my first thing is I'm get a cup of coffee first thing. Before I sit down, I tell the bartender, can I get a cup of coffee? Sure, yep, there it is, he's got it. And then you know, he always gives me the cream and sugar because he knows I take a little coffee with my cream and sugar. And so I grab that, and then there's two guys sitting there and a bar stool between them. And I just, okay, it's my seat, I guess. Sit down. And the guy here on my right starts talking about how his wife has been sick, and how hard it's been because there's nobody to care for. She's the only caregiver because he doesn't have money to take her to a facility, and he doesn't have money to hire somebody to take care of her. He's it. And it's been a year, and it's tiring, and it's hard, and it's been really difficult. And I'm really sorry for that. You know, what's your wife's name? She tells me the name. He tells me her name. And and this guy starts talking, and he's over here. So this is why God invented swiveling stools. So I'm swiveling over here, and he starts talking about, yeah, it's really hard, and I have money, man. He says, I know, because I've been through this. He's a veteran, and his pension got delayed. He was having a hard time getting his pension for years and years. He had a hard time, and so he was just barely making, and he's disabled. But for some reason, the pension wasn't coming, and he was telling me about all that, and I thought, oh, that's so frustrating, you know? He goes, yeah, it's really frustrating, and then I turn to this guy again, and he starts talking about, but you know, I thought, I said, well, now, how is your wife? And he said, she died. She died just a couple of months ago, but the last 3 or 4 months of her life were so much better. And I said, they were so much better. Why? What happened? And he says, well, somebody gave me some money, and I was able to hire somebody to take care of her in her last months. And her last months were just so much more comfortable. And they knew what they were doing, and they took care of her. And I thought, that's amazing. And that's so beautiful. And then I turned to this guy, and he starts talking, and he's saying, well, you know, Father Paul, my pension finally came through. And not only that, you won't believe it, but back pay. Mm. So much money. So you wouldn't believe how much money it was. You know how much money it was. And he's like, I said, that is just amazing. So, and then I go, Wait a minute here. You've got your pension, and then, and I turn to him and say, so what, how did you get this money? Where was it? And he points, so like I'm between him and the other guy, and he points through me at the guy next to him. I said, that guy gave you money? And he goes, yeah, that guy. Yeah. He paid for the last 3 months of my wife's hair. So I spin my tool around. You did that? And he says, well, yeah, I did that. Because I know how hard it is. I know him a long time. I'm like, first of all, why are you not sitting next to each other? You look like you're not. Well, the reason was because then I needed a space in there. Right? But I was like, you did that. And I said, yeah. And I look at him and he said, that guy did this for you. And he's like, he's trying to hold back his tears, but I'm not. And I'm just like, this is just so incredible. And it's like, this is holy ground. These three bar stools in Frogs are holy ground. Right? Only because I decided to sit down there, right? It's like, no big deal. Except it was a big deal. It was God with angels ascending and descending. And if I'd had a stone, maybe I would have put it on that stool and said, God is in this place. This is the house of God, right here. Right here in Senior Frogs, of all places. Incredible. So it makes me feel like, okay, it isn't always very big things, you know, the decision to engage Martin Luther King as the leader of the Montgomery bus boycott from Dexter Avenue Baptist Church ended up being just huge. But we are always invited into these situations. We make these decisions. We go these places. We do these things. And then God says, I wonder what I can do with that. And it's that we pay attention to. Because God is walking with us. And you will see all kinds of things. If you think that little incident in the bar is a big deal, just you wait. There's more to be seen. So keep your eyes open. Keep your hearts open. Be aware. That's what I think Jesus means by come and see. He doesn't mean come to church where you know where God is. No, that's great too. Come and see that too. But come to the places where you're kind of beckoned to go. And then see what God is doing in that place. Because God is doing stuff in every place. So come and see. You will see amazing things. And mostly, you will come to understand that God is right here among us. Amen. Okay.